Good morning. Welcome to our church. May you know the joy of salvation which is ours through Jesus Christ, and that through the warmth of our fellowship, you may grow in God's grace and love. I hope you read that every Sunday when you pick up your bulletin and see what our desire is as a family of God and a church family. So welcome to worship this morning. Just a few announcements that are in your bulletin. Please join us for coffee and conversation this morning. We are going to do a study during Advent, and we will do adult education and studies periodically as they come up. But some of the time, we're just going to spend time fellowshipping together. So please join us for that this morning. Pastor Nellis will be with us next week. That will be enjoyable. And we have the next three Tuesdays, we have opportunities. This week, the Covenant Women will meet for lunch at the Little Gourmet Deli on Tuesday at noon. On the 21st will be Project Day. And on the 28th will be an opportunity to serve at the Salvation Army. So if you are available to help with that, let Wayne know, please. Also, if you will make note, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, November 26th, we are going to spend some time decorating in our church after the service. But also, we are invited to a 50th wedding anniversary celebration at the Red Wing Covenant Church for Pastor Roger and Margene. So I know that there are a few people that are able to travel down there for that, and that will be great. But certainly if you want to greet them on their, or for their 50th anniversary, you can either send a card with one of those people, or we'll get the address to you and you can mail it.
Julie?
What?
The invitation is on the table downstairs.
Oh.
And they are looking for RSVP.
Okay.
So if anybody's going.
Okay. All right, thank you, Gail. So you can see the invitation downstairs this morning. Okay, I think those are the announcements. You'll also notice all of our Christmas boxes, our Christmas shoe boxes, as part of the Samaritan's Purse Ministry, and we're going to pray for those this morning during our prayer time and dedicate them for their mission. But please come up and take a look, too, and see what kind of items are in the box. And next year, please feel free to make contributions so that we can send as many shoeboxes as possible to children around the world. Okay, please stand for the call to worship. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised.
He is to be revered above all gods.
Honor and majesty are before him.
Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Bring an offering and come into his courts.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
Tremble before him, all the earth.
Remain standing and turn to hymn number 93, Praise and Thanksgiving.
From the
Creator God, we marvel at the world you've given to us. We are astounded by the depth and breadth of the oceans, with the contrasts of acorn and oak, with massive mountains and tiny buds, with the vastness of sky and the delicacy of snowflakes, with flashing crimson and gold amid gentle greens and blues. We marvel at the earth's resources, which sustain all life and nourish all growing things. O Creator God, we are grateful and humbled that you have made us responsible for this rich earth. God, grant us the grace to respect your creation, wisdom to conserve its resources, and sensitivity to share its wealth. We enter into worship today reminded of your generosity and goodness and of our charge to be good stewards. In Christ's name, amen.
Our first reading this morning is taken from Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7, and it is on page 444, 444 of your Pew Bible. It is a maskil of Asaph, and we know from 1 Chronicles, Asaph was a singer and a counselor in King David's court, and a maskil is a song teaching, so perhaps you can picture this morning someone singing this in the temple. Beginning in verse 1. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. And our second reading today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, and that is found on page 759 of your Pew Bible, Matthew 1:25-13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others came, "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." May God bless his word in our hearts.
This morning, as we prepare our hearts to give our offerings and our tithes, as well as the Congo Kids offering this morning, I would remind you that next week we will be taking the offering for Covenant World Relief. And I hope you've been considering that and using your soup cans in preparation for that. I'm going to ask the usher to come forward, please. God has shown us the meaning of generosity in the beautiful diversity of creation, in the overflowing love of Jesus Christ, and in the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit. God has abundantly blessed us and called us to be a community that honors each other and to be servants to each other with joy, to share our love and our material possessions. Let us rejoice in what we have been given and in what ours is. What is ours to give? Stand for the doxology. Join me in prayer. Psalm 96:3, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. Dear Heavenly Father, we begin our prayer time this morning with a special prayer and dedication for these Christmas shoeboxes that we hope will spread your joy and love and the message of salvation throughout the world. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the recipients of the shoeboxes, that they will hear of Jesus' love and forgiveness and respond in faith. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that as that happens, their families and communities will also hear that message. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that those children that perhaps are able to make a decision for you will follow through with the discipleship program that the Samaritan's Purse Ministry offers, so that they will grow to know more and more about you and your word and your presence in their lives. We thank you, Lord, and praise you for the congregations who pack the shoe boxes, that they are ministry partners with this mission that goes throughout the globe. They work together to share the gospel of Jesus with children. And we pray for the volunteers worldwide, Lord, who serve to make sure that these boxes are filled to the brim with love and that they are appropriately shared with those that need to receive them. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for things and issues closer to home in our world. We thank you for Carl and Sue Peterson, Lord, who are covenant missionaries to Mexico. We pray that you would bless them in their ministry and assist them in their endeavors to obtain transportation. And also, Lord, we know that their son is getting married in the new year, and we pray for safe travels for that. We just celebrated Veterans Day, Lord, and honored the veterans within our reach that have served for the country and kept us safe both here and abroad. And we thank you, Lord, that there are still individuals willing to join that effort. And we pray for Sarah Skogman and Grace Koski. We pray for our public service personnel who are on a daily basis looking out for our safety and making sure that all people have the opportunity to travel about our community safely, and when they have a need, they receive the services that they need. And we thank you for that, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for Margene and Roger Johnson, Lord. We thank you for their 50 years of marriage and the example they have been not only to our congregation but to their family and to their friends and relatives, Lord. They have committed to each other and committed to serve you, and we are grateful for that, Lord. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that the hand, that your hand is on those people that are experiencing illness or other issues in their personal lives, Lord. We know that you have provided the Holy Spirit to meet our needs and to teach us and comfort us, Lord. And we thank you for the blessings that so many have received as they travel the journey towards health. And we praise you for that, Lord. This morning, Lord, we just want to give thanks for all things and all that you have given us. Almighty God, source of all life, giver of all that is good, we gather to offer our praise and thanks. The richness of our lives, when we stop to take measure, is more than we can comprehend. We have blessings of joy and hope, the challenge to labor and the luxury of leisure. Your world is full of wonder and its beauty delights us. We praise your generosity and confess that we are often ungenerous receivers. We are slow to share and quick to squander. We take for granted what we have and anticipate more. Give us an awareness of our blessings so that we will share joyously and live responsibly. Give us a sense of self-worth so that getting things does not usurp other values. For all your goodness, let us express our gratitude by genuinely caring for our world. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, amen. Now, before the message of the morning, if you would turn to hymn number 74, Give Thanks.
Give thanks.
And now we have Paul Johnston with us this morning to share a word.
Well, good morning, everyone. I still don't like that pulpit up there. I feel more comfortable down here. Maybe someday, I don't know. Well, it's always great to be back up here sharing a message with everyone. Last night, Rachel and I were invited to a friend's house, and their oldest daughter, who is Miriam's, 22, had a bunch of her Bible study friends from, I don't remember if it was Crew or, Chi Alpha, one of the two college programs that are out there. So we went and had tacos with them, and somehow, my fingers are killing me, we worshiped for close to 6 hours with these kids. And it was just, it was a really neat experience. I for some reason had my iPad, which has all my music on it, and just kind of drew it. We just started worshiping, and it was such a real and authentic type of thing, because there was no real, plan. It was just extemporaneous, and we ended the night praying, and just the whole experience was just a super, super cool thing that it's been a long time since I've really experienced that. Now, being 40, staying up till midnight, that's hard. And then 6 o'clock in the morning, and I hear that stupid beep. And I had to hunt through the house to find where the stupid beep was coming from. And of course, the smoke detector was out of batteries, and 6 o'clock in the morning, go to bed at midnight, wake up at six. I haven't done that since my kids were little. And now, JD's 18 and Grace is 16, so now they're kind of on their own deal. So it's just, yeah, I'm tired. But with all that being said, we're going to look at a passage in the book of Acts. And this is when the church is just forming. This is the disciples are going out and talking to people. Paul and Barnabas are out on their missions journey. So this chapter unfolds as a very pivotal moment in the church's mission. And we're going to look into God's Word to draw some inspiration and some guidance for our lives as we explore what the unstoppable mission of spreading the gospel is. And it's kind of neat. It's always those weird, the funny God things. To see the shoe boxes. That's one of those tangible things that we can't necessarily go out and do all the missions. But this is one of the tangible things that we can do as congregations, as people living with the means to do. We're sharing the gospel. We're sharing the love of Christ to people that don't necessarily have that. And that's where, when Rachel and the kids and I have gone to Mexico the last couple of years with Lakeview Christian Academy, that's one of those things that we have the opportunity, and thankfully because you guys have helped, last year to send us. It was a great experience to go there and just start building those relationships with these kids. There's not necessarily, we're English speakers and they're Spanish speakers. They're in a school that's teaching them Spanish, or if they need to teach us Spanish, but they're being taught some English. And to build the relationship with these kids was such a great thing. To go back and think about what we talked about last year when we gave you guys the report Rachel and Grace were able to sit in on a couple of classes, the English classes for these kids, and have these little conversations and just build that relationship and do those things. You know, it's not necessarily that you're getting up and going into the mission field in a foreign country, but helping support people who do that is a great thing. But with all that being said, our mission field is when we step outside these doors. It's not just going to a foreign country. It's stepping out of the doors of the church, stepping out of the doors of our houses, and just knowing that what's out there, you're going to encounter people that may not know Jesus and know Jesus' love. So we're looking at this passage, and we're looking at how the gospel is spreading during this time. And we're witnessing the Apostle Paul and Barnabas on one of their missionary journeys. And if you'll turn with me to Acts 13, verses 45 through 52, we're going to witness the unstoppable power of the gospel and the boldness of those who carry the message of salvation. So it says, starting in verse 44, "On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, 'We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you rejected and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all were appointed for eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that you give us opportunities that we may not even know about. Having little conversations with people outside of our normal conversations and just being able to show our love to people. We thank you for stretching us in those ways that we know that you are working and your will is being put on our lives and that we can do your awesome power through your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we start looking at the passage, we see that the Word of God attracts a very diverse audience of people. We see that the Word of God attracts, we see first, the Word was brought to the Jews. And the Jews weren't too happy with what was being said. They weren't being as accepting of what was happening in their lives, or what needed to happen in their lives. But then you have this other people group, the Gentiles. The Gentiles are eager to hear the good news, and they flock to Paul and Barnabas, where they had just preached a powerful message in the synagogue. The response was remarkable as a multitude gathered to hear the word of God. We see that the message of salvation isn't confined to a specific group of people, but it extends to anybody who's open to hear it and to receive it. This really teaches us that the gospel breaks down any cultural barriers, and it invites people from every background into the family of God. So again, with Rachel and I going down to Mexico, I know about 3, maybe 4 words of Spanish. I can ask you where the bathroom is. I can ask for tacos. That's a pretty easy one. I can order a beer. Not that that's going to do me any good. Maybe that's it, the only three. I can tell you my name and I can ask you your name, but I won't know what you're saying to me. So. But that's the power of what the Word of God is. Because we have these cultural differences, because we have these barriers, being able to talk and show our actions through our love of Christ, where the love of Christ that's flowing through us to our neighbors, to the people around us, is such a great and powerful thing. We're able to, by our actions, show people we love them. Going to Mexico, going to this children's home, and just spending time with these kids, playing tag with them, having a massive water balloon fight with them. These are some of the things that we're showing the love of Christ to these kids. We're destroying that cultural boundary to a point because we're there showing our actions, and that's what they're seeing. Now, as the crowd was dispersing with in the passage, there were some who were filled with jealousy, and they were contradicting the message. They were opposing the truth of the gospel. And we have to know that not everyone is going to be open at that time to hear the message. Not everybody's heart is ready to hear the Word of God when it gets presented to them. Sometimes it's about planting that seed. Sometimes it's just about having that conversation. And if they're unwilling or they don't want to hear it, you've shared. You've started the process. And now the next person's going to come in and they're going to till. And it might take 4 or 5 people, because there's a lot of stubborn people out there, before they're really going to fully come to what it is that it means to have that belief in Christ. Some people have to hit rock bottom. That's unfortunately why we have to have programs like Teen Challenge out there. Because those people have hit rock bottom. A lot of them don't even think they've hit rock bottom, but they're court ordered to be there, so they're kind of rock bottom at that point. But they hear about the Word. They hear about the love of Christ in that setting. And some will accept, but some don't. Some just still have that hard heart. The gospel has the power to transform lives, but it also stirs opposition. That's kind of why we have all our denominations that we do. You go from the Catholic Church, Luther doesn't like it, so you're right. Has his 95 thesis, pounds it on the wall. Look, we just started the Lutheran Church, separate from the other. The opposition is there. To this day, we still have the opposition. But as ambassadors for Christ, we must be prepared for resistance, and we need to stand firm in what we believe, and that Christ, we believe in Christ being who he says he is. Are you as zealous to share the gospel as the Gentiles were to hear it? Do you recognize the universal appeal of God's love? It transcends cultural and societal boundaries. If you were a Gentile, you were a second-class citizen. The Jews during that time they had all the power, all the authority. Gentiles were half Jew, half whatever nation. They were second class. They were nothing. And you had Paul and Barnabas going, we're going to share the love of Christ, of what he just did. Oh, you don't want to hear it? All right, well, you guys do. Because everything's been given to you. Nothing had been given to them. Even Jesus with the Samaritan, the woman at the well. He broke those boundaries. One, he talked to a woman. Two, he talked to a Samaritan. Again, not that those were bad things in the sight of the Jewish leaders. And even the disciples came back going, you sure you should be doing that? As we move down, we're looking at the resistance that the Jews were offering during this. They faced the opposition from some of the Jews, and Paul and Barnabas boldly declared their intention to turn to the Gentiles. And as the Gentiles started to embrace the gospel, some of the Jews reacted jealously. And Paul and Barnabas responded by declaring that since the Jews were rejecting the message, they would now go to the Gentiles. The gospel's for everyone. The gospel is for Jew and Gentile alike. That's what they were talking about. That's what they were portraying. The shift in the focus of looking towards just the Jews and preaching the gospel to the Jews, it opens up so much more. It's for everyone. And it reveals the nature of what God's plan of salvation is really about. But it also tells us that the rejection by some doesn't thwart what God wants to do. Just because the Jews are saying no, we're going to continue and we're going to work with the Gentiles. We're going to move on and reach the next set of people who want to hear the message, who are yearning for the message. It opens the door for others to receive His grace. And this really opens, it's the turning point, and it marked the beginning of the broader mission of who is actually part of the kingdom of God. This is telling us that the gospel is inclusive. It's breaking down barriers that divide us. If we go back to what it really means to be a Christ follower, the semantics of everything else around us, of as long as the focus is on Christ, on the cross, on what that means. That's what it means. It's this focus. It's not the politics. It's not the, well, are babies who are sprinkled not baptized? Is submersion the only way to go? Do you have to do communion every Sunday? Do you need to pray to the priest? Or confess your sins to the priest to be absolved of your sins? That doesn't matter. That's what matters. What happened on the cross is what matters. What Jesus did by giving us grace and peace and love, knowing that we have salvation. Our mission extends beyond familiar territories. We're called to share the good news, not just with your neighbor, not just with your family members who may not know, everyone. Everyone needs to hear the gospel message. It doesn't matter what their background is. Everyone needs to hear that. And in the face of opposition, are you willing to adapt the approach of how you're going to talk to people, how you're going to bring up new opportunities to share the gospel? Can we persevere in the mission even when we meet resistance? Now, I don't agree with the ideology of what the Latter-day Saints are. But dang. Knocking on doors, getting doors slammed in their faces. They've got some really weird ideas. Where's our fervor for that? Where's our yearning to go and canvass neighborhoods and sending people out to go, have you heard about Jesus? I can't say I'm great at it either. I would love to be more. To be able to go and just knock on my neighbor's doors and say, hey, have you met my friend Jesus? I can do it when I'm at work, when I'm talking to people and getting to know people. But they're going around knocking on doors going, hey, can I tell you about what I believe? No, Mom, I'm sorry. Back when we were younger, they were wandering the neighborhood. My mom ran into the bathroom and told us to answer the door and say, nope, nobody else is here. And then, me being the young, dumb 19-year-old college student, they come to the house. I happen to be home from break. Hey, I'm a pastoral studies major. Let's have a conversation. I don't know if they ever came back and visited you guys after I was gone. I don't think ever. It was 20-some years ago. They have an excitement and a fervor, and sometimes it is just, this is what we have to do to become a true member of the church. But they go out and they talk to people. And they start building those relationships, and that's where a lot of it happens. That's where a lot of what needs to be done, just having those conversations. And just saying, have I told you about what I believe and why I believe it? Now, JD and Grace were down in the cities at an apologetics conference the last Friday, Saturday. They got home. Actually, we got home after them. That just seems weird. I haven't had a chance to talk to them about what they had talked about at the conference. But apologetics being why I believe, how I'm going to defend my faith. And this was focused on high schoolers, college-age kids. So I am kind of interested to go back and hear what they heard about. As we're talking with these six college kids last night, and they're just like, yeah, this is, I believe this. One kid's like, yeah, I feel that prayer is a big, powerful thing, and he's telling us about some of the times that he's experienced true, deep relationship with Christ and in prayer and all this stuff, and it's like, wow. No, you're in the. There were four adults there that none of these college kids had ever met before. But they wanted to talk about what they were experiencing and having this excitement, and it was amazing. My watch kept telling me that you've reached 90 decibels for over 30 minutes and can cause hearing loss. That was our time of worship. The noise was amazing. I would rather do that than go to a concert. Having that true, authentic experience. Verse 48 talks about, it brings a beautiful scene as the Gentiles are responding with joy and gratitude because Paul and Barnabas are focusing on them. They're saying, we want to tell you the message. We want to show you the love. The Holy Spirit was at work and he was bringing joy and transformation to those who embrace the gospel. The joy of salvation is a powerful force. It transcends circumstances. Scriptures tell us that those who were appointed to eternal life believed. Those who accepted Christ are in the book of life. They know where they're going in the end. I know where I'm going in the end. I'm okay if I go there soon. Because I know where I go. Not that I want to leave my family, but if it happens. On our way up here, we saw an accident, a vehicle on its side, just north of Cotton. Don't know what happened. It had just happened before us because the back tires were still spinning. But my loving wife, the first thing she does is starts praying for that person, for their safety, for them. Not knowing who it was or what, and we just saw the bottom of the vehicle. We had no idea about any of it. But Rachel jumps in to just start praying for them. Do you know where you're going? Are you okay if on your way home, you're here 1 second and gone the next? Salvation is such a powerful force. Here we're witnessing the mysterious interplay between God's sovereignty and human responsibility. Meaning, we as humans need to make that decision. We as believers need to decide if we're going to follow Christ. I mean, it's been a long time for me. I'm one of the young ones in the room. It was camp at some point that I made that decision to follow Christ. Many, many years ago. It's our responsibility to make that decision. If you continue to hear about it and hear about it and hear about it and never make a decision, and like was read in the scripture this morning, it's going to be the five virgins who had to go and find oil because they weren't prepared. You lost your chance. And the book of Revelations starts to expound on what's going to happen at the end of the age. The joy of salvation, it's not earned. It's freely given. But you need to make that decision. If that's what you want to truly believe. Do we approach the mission with joy? Do we recognize that salvation is ultimately a gift from God? Are we trusting in His sovereignty as we're engaging and sharing the gospel? Our mission is not merely a duty, it's a privilege that brings joy. The Holy Spirit empowers us to share the gospel with enthusiasm, knowing that salvation brings incomparable joy to all those who receive it. This was going longer than I thought. I'll finish up here quick, Julie. The chapter concludes with the word of the Lord spreading throughout the region. And despite positive response from many, they experienced a lot of opposition. Paul and Barnabas remained filled with the Holy Spirit, and the disciples are filled with joy. Paul and Barnabas faced persecution, but they responded with resilience and perseverance. They shook the dust off their feet and moved on to the next place, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Haven't we heard that before? As Jesus sent out the disciples, Jesus told them, if you find opposition, shake your sandals off and go to the next place. It's a command that we're given. If we're not welcome there, move on to the next one. But persevere and move on to the next one. Don't just get drugged down that nothing happened there. Persevere knowing that this is what we need to do as Christ followers. How do we cultivate perseverance in our mission? Are you relying on the Holy Spirit to sustain you in the face of challenges? Perseverance is essential in missions work. We may encounter setbacks, opposition, and challenges, but with the Holy Spirit as our guide, we can press on with determination, trusting God's sovereignty. As we're closing this up, let's be inspired by the zeal of the Gentiles about their response to opposition, their joyful reception of the gospel message and the spreading of the word. May we too be bold in sharing the good news, recognizing that the mission is unstoppable, especially when powered by the Holy Spirit. Let our hearts echo the words of Paul and Barnabas as they proclaimed, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles." And again, as we're looking at the unstoppable mission, let us be inspired to share the gospel boldly, inclusively, and joyfully, and with unwavering perseverance. The mission of spreading the good news is a divine calling, and with the Holy Spirit as our guide, we can impact lives and witness the transformative power of God's word. May we embrace the mission with open hearts, knowing that our labor in the Lord is never in vain. May our lives be a living testimony to the unstoppable mission of the spreading of God of the gospel with boldness. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your perseverance in our lives. We thank you that you don't just knock one time and say, "Well, I tried." We thank you that your love is so much more than that. That you will leave the 99 to go find the one. We thank you for your perseverance on our lives. Help us to be as bold, powered by your Holy Spirit, to go out into our neighborhoods and just yearn to talk to people about who you are. Pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
demonstrating exactly why God wrote the scriptures, so that we would have examples to follow from the lives of the early Christians and what he intended for us to do, to share his good news. So with that in mind, would you please stand and turn to hymn number 688, We Have a Story to Tell to the Nations. Thank you.